Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio, hosted by serial entrepreneur Denise Griffiths. Denise offers a full menu of on-the-web services for all your online needs. Denise and her team of virtual assistants can help manage your online business, including social media channels, blogs, web portals, and more. YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com is a comprehensive resource to help you combine the power of your brand, your connections, and innovative ideas to develop a full online strategy that can guarantee a strong profitable impact on your business.
Good morning and welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and every week, every Friday, I am honored to share the microphone with really interesting people. Now, these are people who are entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, authors, speakers, web developers, virtual assistants, anyone truly who has a wonderful story to share. And these are people who are excited to freely share their business wisdom, their tips, and their actionable advice. In short, they are willing to help us shorten our learning curve as we navigate the know, like, and trust economy. Today, I welcome authority marketing coach and consultant, Donna Gunter. Now, Donna and I have been friends on Facebook and social media for decades, it seems like. I know that's an exaggeration, but we have been circling around each other forever. And we've gotten to know each other in this weird kind of way that you do on Facebook. And you know, so we know what each other does, and we don't really know each other, but we kind of do. It's the weirdest thing, so I'm really happy to have her here today. Now, as a sought-after authority on marketing, Donna has helped hundreds of entrepreneurs and professionals stop the client chase, which is really important, stop the client chase, by leveraging their knowledge to gain authority status in their industry and then dramatically amplifying their message and showing them how to convert the new audience into high-paying customers. She is a two-time Amazon best-selling author of Brand Yourself as the Trusted Local Celebrity and BizSmart Quick Guide, 10 Strategies to Online Visibility for More Traffic, Clicks, and Profit. She is also the founder of BizSmart Media and co-founder of RadioShowRiches.com, and she is a guest host at Business Innovators Radio. So today she's going to share why podcasts are so important to our business growth. I've been doing this since 2009. She's not going to get an argument from me. And why podcasting is the number one tool in 2016 and 17, I believe, going for massive reach, impact, and client attraction. Donna, I'm so glad to see you here, and welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio.
Well, thanks so much, Denise. You know, one day we're really going to have to get together. We live only about 3 hours apart, so one of us is going to have to travel. We'll have to meet in the middle somewhere in Louisiana.
We can meet in Lake Charles or something. It's right down the road.
There you go.
I was
on some gambling boats.
Oh, my gosh. You know, that's one thing I've never learned to do is gamble. I work too hard for my money. When I lose 10 bucks, I get angry. I'm like, I have to go home now.
Well, yeah,
bucks,
that's actually
I'm
never appealed to me
for a
either.
Week. No, it doesn't make any sense to me. Listen, like I shared with you in the green room, I have been fighting my voice for quite a while now, you know, 3 or 4 weeks. And I was actually recording a couple of summits, VA summits this past week, and I had to stop one that's actually going to have to go out next week because my voice is just in such rough shape, and I don't know why. So I'm going to actually, you know, just kind of quiet myself most of the time and let you just run with it because I know you know this topic and you've got, I mean, I will ask questions. I'm not going to abandon you, but just so you know, my voice is having, you know, little baby fits all over the place. So listen, did I miss anything in the intro that you would like to share with our audience?
No, I think you hit all the highlights really well. Thanks a lot for that.
Oh, sure. Well, listen, let's talk about why podcasting is so hot, because as you know, I started doing this in 2009, and you know, I wasn't real consistent with it, but then I got very consistent with it, because all of a sudden, people were asking to come onto my show. I mean, people that had me going, whoa, you know who I am? Woohoo! Sure, come on my show. You know? And it got very interesting, so you know, I got very consistent. I streamlined my message, and I would not stop doing this for the world. I mean, Donna, the truth is every Friday, and I only broadcast live once a week, but I get to meet the darndest people from all over the country. It's in Canada, It's amazing. I mean, it's amazing what you can do with a podcast. So I would love for you to tell people why they really need to either have a podcast or be a phenomenal podcast guest. And that's a big topic with me, because you can get some doozies. You can get some great ones, but you can get some that make you go, why are you wasting my time? And they don't, it doesn't need to be that way, does it? It doesn't need to be that way. It's just a matter of educating yourself on how to be a great podcast guest. So this is where I think you're going to excel, and I would love for you to talk about that.
Well, I think that podcasting is really hot because of a number of reasons. About a year ago, I started hearing about how 50% of the new cars by 2016, by this year, were going to have internet connectivity and the ability to download podcasts. And I thought, well, you know, if the cars are coming out with this, this is something I really need to pay attention to. So I started delving into this a little bit more, and I'll pause here for a moment and tell you that I actually did have my own podcast back in 2008 because I wanted to do something similar to you, you know, get out in the community, but I wasn't really getting the results that I wanted from it. So it kind of fell by the wayside. And so, you know, all this information and news about podcasting that I've been hearing in the last year really revived my interest in the whole thing. So when I started doing more research, as I mentioned earlier, I found out that 1 in 4 podcast consumers plug their MP3 players or their smartphones, you know, however they're listening to music, into their car audio systems. Now, I have an older vehicle. I have a 2001 vehicle, so mine is pre-MP3, for the most part, pre-podcast kinds of stuff. But my husband got a new truck recently, and he's always doing this. He's got his phone synced up with his stereo system, got a very expensive stereo system, via Bluetooth, and listens to stuff from his smartphone all the time, and actually does calls through his smartphone, you know, through his stereo system. Then, in my research, I saw that Apple surpassed 1 billion subscriptions for podcasts on iTunes. And so between that and installing the MP3 players and the internet connectivity in cars, I thought, well, you know, this is something I need to start paying attention to again. And then it occurred to me, back in 2005, I moved back to Texas. I'd been living in Little Rock, Arkansas, and eventually ended up in the small town of Orange, which is kind of referred to as the armpit of Texas. Anytime I'm watching a television commercial and it's from some national chain and they say, oh, we have locations all over the United States, and you see the map and you see all the dots, and there's this big dearth of dots for about 150-mile radius from where I live. So we're not the first location that anybody decides to locate. So I definitely call it the backwaters of East Texas or Southeast Texas for a good reason. We're kind of behind the scenes. So needless to say, I don't get a lot of opportunities to go out that much and do a lot of speaking because I'm 3 hours from Houston. And when I was younger, driving to Houston wasn't such a big deal. But now that I've hit my 50s, you know, all the glam and glitz has disappeared from that. So as I started thinking about podcasts again, I thought, well, what better way than to be able to sit at my house 30 minutes a week or so, you know, maybe 60 minutes depending upon the length of the podcast, and reach more of my global market without having to leave home or, you know, frankly, get in the car, go anywhere, and get dressed for that matter, put on makeup. I get to develop this whole new stream of prospects, potential clients, get my message out there, and add another layer of credibility to what I do. And the cool thing about this, you know, if I do this once a week, it only takes 30 to 60 minutes a week, and I do it from my home office. So if I were to book myself consistently, I would be getting out there to lots and lots of people without leaving my own home. I mean, you know, what's there not to like about this?
And you just described why I do what I do. I'm a complete and total introvert. I, you know, I've often said that, you know, I need to be alone 78% of the time. Well, I've closed that gap. Now it's about 95% of the time. And my goal is to grow up to be the crazy cat lady sitting on her porch in Southwest Louisiana with a shotgun and, you know, bad attitude. That's my goal. And
you've definitely got a lot of cats.
I do. I have cats. I mean, it's not crazy cat lady yet, but there is an invisible sign over my house that says Schmuck lives here, so I live in dread. But the thing is, I've been doing this for a lot of the same reasons. I do not want to be out in crowds. I mean, I'm not afraid of speaking. I'm not shy. I just being in crowds or being around people drains me. It just, an hour and I'm done. I'm like, oh my God, I've got to go now. And I found that out about myself, and I've learned to really grow with that. But podcasts, because, you know, like you say, I can do it from my own home. It takes me, you know, I'll be on the phone with you for an hour today. It took me probably an hour's worth of prep time. Then we'll spend a little bit more time, you know, promoting the show. But I get to learn from people. You know, I get to meet people. It's an amazing, amazing way to network. So, you know, it's just, if you're not doing it, I strongly suggest you, if you don't want to have your own podcast, be a guest. You know, be a great guest.
Yep, that is so easy to do because there are so many podcasts out there and so many podcasts that are absolutely desperate for guests. So if you pitch yourself correctly and really show up with what it is that you have to offer and really focus your topic, you won't have any problem at all getting booked on podcasts that are listened to by your target market.
And, you know, the thing is, there are services out there now, and I can think of, you know, two or three at least who will. You can sign a retainer package with them, and they'll get you booked on podcasts if you don't feel like doing it yourself. So it's not the wild, wild west anymore is what I'm saying. It's, you know, we're out there. We can be found. I mean, I get emails all the time, Facebook requests, LinkedIn requests. I've got a guest, and would you like to speak to this person? Sure. You know, I mean, I'm booked now through the end of the year, and I didn't have to even go look for people. So it's fun. It really is fun. So what is the best way to be a great guest? I've got a horror story that I may or may not share, but, oh, man, this poor little guy. This poor little guy, if I could have found him, I would have wrung his little pencil neck, seriously. But most of my guests are phenomenal. But you do get the one every once in a while. You just think, what time did you get out of bed and why did you go back? You know, you're kind of, I don't think you got enough sleep. So, but, you know, what do you tell people?
I can relate.
I bet. What do you tell people when they want to be a good guest? What are the steps that they should take?
Well, first of all, you know, just being a good guest, and for the most part, I guess, except for your ultra weirdos, like you mentioned, your weird guest, is just to be yourself. You want to be authentic, so, and you want to come across as trustworthy. You know, you mentioned here in your intro about the like, know, and trust economy. Hearing someone's voice and potentially looking at a picture of someone, short of being there, is one of the most powerful ways to get on that like, know, and trust highway to get to know somebody, to be able to like, know, and trust them, and get to the point of wanting to buy from them. Another thing I always tell people is to be upbeat. You know, sometimes that means you get up and walk around while you're talking, if that makes you more energetic. You smile when you're talking on a podcast because, for whatever reason, your voice transmits that smile if you're actually wearing a smile on your face. Telling stories is a phenomenal way to be a great guest. I used to train for an online training program helping virtual assistants start businesses. And I would have students come back to me years later saying, oh, Donna, you know, I remember that story you talked about in such and such and so and so. And they may not have remembered the theory that we were talking about or the topic that we were talking about, but the story stuck with them. So the more stories that you can tell, the more valuable you become as a guest, because stories really entrance people, stories are memorable, and stories really help convey who you are and your authenticity to your audience. Another tip would be to answer the questions. Don't get off topic with somebody. And on top of answering questions, take a beat and breathe and pause on occasion. Now, I'm a guest host for Business Innovators Radio, and I have had guests where it's hard for me to get a word in edgewise. And we, you know, the plan was not for them to take over the show, but they would never stop talking long enough so I could ask a question. It's like, you know, this is a two-part interview. Hello, you know, I'm the host. I would like to ask a question. So do your host a favor by not hogging the entire time that you're together. Take a beat, pause, breathe, and let them get a word in edgewise as well, and you'll be a much more revered, valued guest, somebody that will be invited back again, as opposed to someone that the host runs screaming from, thinking, oh my gosh, you know, I never want to deal with this person ever again.
You know, one that happened to me in the early days, in all the years I've been doing this, I've only had to delete two podcasts. One was because it was so painful. It was like watching paint dry. I couldn't, you know, I like to think I'm a fairly good conversationalist. I can pull things out of you and we can chat and visit. I have never been so bored in my life, and I had to delete it. It was really that bad. And another one was just the woman didn't stop selling. It was all about this product, and I never make my show about a product or even an event, because you know you want your shows, your podcast to be evergreen. You want to give
Absolutely.
Good information. You want your guests to give good information. It was, and I had to call her afterward and say, I'm sorry, that did not speak to my market. I had to delete it. She was upset, but I could not let that stand. I mean, she was just relentless in her selling. It was the wrong venue for that. So I've always told people, I did learn a lesson from it. When you come on my show, it's a conversation. It's about you and the, you know, what you have to give to the audience, but we're not selling anything here. And most people understand that. It's not a problem.
Well, you know, you bring up a good point in terms of what people are sharing on podcasts and the fact that podcasts are evergreen. A lot of people don't realize that, and they're really, I guess, two classes of people that I don't think podcasts are appropriate for. One is that person who needs a sale right away because they can't, you know, buy gas for their car or buy food in the next week. You know, the podcast guesting stint is not going to do that for them at all. The second person that a podcast is not good for is somebody who's got a time-sensitive event. As you mentioned, podcasts are evergreen, and they hang out online forever. I mean, I know when I was going back putting my new media kit together, I found podcast episodes as far back as 2008 and 2009, and this was in 2016 that I was doing the search. Unfortunately, you know, I was talking about things that I really don't do any longer, so that's the downside of that. But anytime you're on a podcast, your offer needs to be evergreen. People often think that podcasts are like radio shows in that they're kind of a one-time event. They're going to go out, and if people don't listen to them right then when they're live, they've missed out on that opportunity. But that's not the case at all. People will find your episode 3 months later, 6 months later, 9 months later, 5 years later. And so what your call to action be and what you're doing needs to be as evergreen as possible, because you really don't have any control over when that podcast is going to be found or that episode is going to be found and when it's going to be listened to. And so, you know, if you're desperate for money, desperate for a sale right now, you're trying to promote something that's happening in the next week, like a webinar or product launch or whatever, don't waste the podcast guest time, because that's really the wrong venue for you completely. The other question I get asked, especially by local business owners, when I talk about podcasting to them is, well, you know, I'm a local insurance agent in Orange, Texas, or, you know, I'm an interior decorator in Houston, you know, and I deal with a limited audience. It's just I'm geographically limited, you know, just the people that can find my store or find my office that are local to me. And I think that those folks are ideal for as podcast guests as well, even though they're not marketing their business globally like a lot of us are doing. You know, if you're in the coaching, consulting, speaker arena, it's what you do with that episode that makes all the difference. So, yeah, you know, your target market in Houston may not be listening to this particular podcast. However, if you use that podcast effectively in your marketing and make your target market aware of that or your customers aware of that, that podcast can build a lot of authority for you and can help you take your prospect down that like, know, and trust road again and get them into your shop or get them into your office more so than any email you might send out or any direct mail that you might send out, because they're listening to you talk about your expertise. So even if you're a local business, don't look down upon podcasts if you were to get an opportunity to interview, because there are so many things that you can do with that to really make that work for you. And as my good friend Joel Helfer says, get a good ROI, and we call that return on interview.
I like that. But you're right. And, you know, when people are on a podcast, whether it's their own or they're a guest, and they're talking about really kind of the expertise that they have gained by working in their particular arena over time, and they're offering wisdom tidbits and just kind of tips and tricks and help, that sticks with people. And it also gives people ideas. I mean, I rarely listen to the radio. I don't like to hear a lot of yammering. I mentioned I'm an introvert, right? So yammering
right.
bothers me. Like, everybody be quiet.
Right.
But if I'm in the car, every once in a while I'll turn on the radio until I just can't stand it anymore. But honestly, what I'm listening for is, it's going to sound odd, I'm listening for the commercials. Because I want to see what's kind of hot, what's going on out there, and if there's any ideas about marketing that I can pick up. Because some commercials are just brilliant. You may not want whatever it is that they're selling, but you're like, ooh, I got an idea. So even if you're not seeing any instant ROI, and I'm wandering a bit, though, I have a reason for this, is that you're giving people ideas, and you're giving, like you said, your expertise, and, you know, you're letting people know that they're not alone in looking for whatever it is that you're talking about. So they may not wander into your store, but they're going to remember you. And at some point, that will come back to you. It just does.
I agree. It's like being on a television commercial, and you're renowned within a particular area because it's like, oh, you're crazy cow car seller or something like that. You know, if you have
a
really outlandish type of commercial. Or Mattress
Years
Mac.
Ago,
everyone knows Mattress
yeah.
Mac.
Yeah. We had a guy that wore, and I can't remember his name now. I turned off cable a long, long time ago, but he always wore a red coat and he sold tires. He said, they ain't pretty. They're not beautiful, but you got to have them. And I just, every time, I would run into the room just to watch this guy because he was hysterical. And he's right, tires ain't pretty. It was like, oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh. That sounds like something
heard.
We have around here.
I'm telling you, this probably 20 years ago is the last time I saw it, and it's still stuck in my head. So voices
wow.
are important. I mean, I'm sure he's deceased now, but I still remember him and I can still hear him. So there's power when you're on the radio and you're speaking and you're nuancing and you're telling those stories. I mean, there's a lot of power to that. So you do want to be careful what you're talking about, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. You know, people are, you know, if they've got to commute in to work every day, or they're just in their car, and so many people are listening to audiobooks. That's another big thing that's increased in popularity. But if they've gone out to lunch or just out running, you know, listening to podcasts is really great. And if they can learn while they're doing that, so you're imparting some really valuable information that they're picking up along the way. I mean, I know another colleague of mine who would get on her exercise bike, and she would only listen to podcasts because that was her learning time. So she would pedal along on her exercise bike in her house and pick up really great marketing tips because those were the podcasts that she listened to. So it's an incredibly, incredibly flexible and unique opportunity to get the word out there about what you're doing to so many people, and they absorb it in more ways that you might than you could ever imagine.
That's exactly true. So let's talk specifically, because this is kind of a two-part thing. You're either going to be a podcast guest or you're going to be a podcast host, or in our case, you can be both. But let's talk about how to be a phenomenal guest, because as you said earlier, we're all looking for guests. I mean, I go on a hunt periodically and say, I just need guests. In fact, I did with you. I had a guest that had to recancel. I was like, Donna! Help me, and bless you, you did. You just jumped in, and thank you so much for that. But the truth is, we're always looking for great guests with great information. So, and there's processes that we as podcast hosts are looking for. We want your one sheet. We want your URLs. We want your bio. We want your headshot. We need a topic. We need to know what we're going to be talking about. How is the best way for people to get that information to you or to me in a way that's, you know, it's just streamlined? We can pick out the information we need right away and go, oh, this is great. So we're not having to go back and pick for information. So if you would give some, you know, maybe your own experiences, but just give our audience some really great tips on how to really just show up big, you know, to, you know, my show, your show, anybody's show. how do you show up big and make me or you or, you know, John Lee Dumas go, I want that person?
Well, you know, the trick is to make the host work as little as possible. That's the best way to be a phenomenal guest that is remembered. If you provide them all the information that they need and you're pitching to the right podcast. You know, if I'm doing, this podcast here on the art of being a guest on a podcast, you know, I'm not going to go to a, show that does wines, you know, talks about different wines, and it's a wine-based show, you know, Gary Vaynerchuk show, say, for example, or I'm not going to go to one talking about films because that's not really relevant to their audience. So you have to be sure that your pitch is specific to the kind of podcast and the kind of guest and the topic of the podcast that you want to be on. You know, it's really listened to by your target market. And along the lines of making your host job as easy as possible, the tricks for that are to give them a written up description of what you're doing. Have a really catchy title. Have a great description. Have some bullet points, because they can use all of that in promoting your particular episode and get their listeners' attention and maybe even attract additional listeners onto the show. You want to be sure and provide your headshot. You want to be sure and provide your social media links. And the easiest way to do all of that is to have a really simple one sheet where you've got all of that outlined. And hosts will love you, absolutely love you, if you provide your own questions, because they don't have to think. And so the best scenario that you can create for a host is, oh, I've got all this information here as a host, so I really don't have to put any thought into this. I can simply show up 2 minutes before my guest does, eyeball the questions, and be good to go, and eyeball the bio. Be sure to include your bio as well. So the host really doesn't have to do anything to have you as a guest on the interview. And assuming that you're conversant and you're well-informed on your topic, you can actually have a really great conversation with your guest without a lot of effort at all.
That is absolutely true. I mean, I can't even begin to tell you how many times I've had to say, and I finally made a rule, if I have to go back to you more than twice to get information, I'm probably not going to book you. Yeah, I don't have the time. We're all very busy people. It should be common sense. It's not, but it should be common sense to just say, here is everything, you know, everything that you mentioned, and by the way, you know, let me know if there's anything I can do to help you promote this. I mean, there's just so many ways, but I think my best advice is use some common sense. You know, approach somebody the way you would want to be approached. Make sure that you get the information to the person that you want. You know, if you were in their position, what, and stop and think, what do I need to give them? What do I need to give them? It just makes life so much easier. I've had people say, oh my gosh, Denise, you're so, when you get on the radio, you're so prepared. Donna, I'm not. I'm giving away a trade secret here, but I'm not, because I insist that, you know, that people give me everything that you just outlined. So once I've got that and I've scanned it and I'm going, good, and most of the time I already kind of know who they are anyway. Very rarely they're strangers to me, you know, because we know everybody on social media, so I have an idea
right.
Where they're going to go. But I also set up a pre-interview call if I don't know you, just to make sure that we're comfortable, that we have some synergy. And, you know, this is an odd thing, Donna. I've been seeing this lately. People say, I don't see why I need to get on a pre-interview call. I'm going to be on the interview anyway. That's kind of the bad attitude that we don't want to hear.
Right,
what do you
exactly.
think about that? You know, like, you're not that important yet. You know, so
right.
I want to know if I like you. The truth is, if I don't like you, you're not coming on my show, and I can't tell that until I've actually had to speak with you or had the opportunity to speak with you. But that seems to be a disturbing trend that I'm seeing, and I don't know where it's coming from, but I don't care for it.
You know, I guess I haven't had that experience, because I usually don't do a pre-interview call, you know, when I'm doing the Business Innovators Radio, but I want any guest that's doing that is really shooting themselves in the foot. Another thing, though, that I have seen with guests that are pitching me for the show is that they come in with really vague information. You know, they'll say something like, you know, America's thought leader and author of 2 books. It's like, well, I don't really know what you're a thought leader of and, you know, why that's important. You know, how are you going to specifically impact my audience? And so when people do really vague pitches like that, you're making the host think too much. you really need to come in with something really specific, targeted for that audience, and focus on that topic. You will be a much more valuable guest if you dive deep into something rather than have these really vague things floating around. Now, you can also pitch yourself on a couple of topics, but again, they need to be really specific and not just kind of floating out there. Again, you know, if you're a marketing coach, don't pitch yourself as a marketing coach, because that's much too vague. Figure out some aspect of marketing that you want to focus on the podcast, and you'll do much better. You'll have a much better time all around, and your information will be much more valuable for people who are listening to that.
Absolutely. Now, I apologize that we've been scaring the heck, or not we, I've probably been scaring the heck out of people. Like, I don't want to go on her show, she's mean. but the thing is, we really want to present ourselves and you as professionals. So the more professional you can show up to us, the more that we have faith in you once we get you on the line, whether it's Skype or whatever it is. You know, with Don and I, it's phone. We're on Blog Talk Radio, so we can do this with a phone, which I love. But I don't want you to be afraid. I don't want the audience to go, oh, my gosh, you know, they're just making it so difficult. And I do understand that they're going to be the, you know, guests that have never done this. And it's my job as a host to, you know, bring the best out of you. Pitch to shows where you've listened, you're kind of familiar with the guests, so you kind
right.
of know what to expect. Don't just go in blind and go, I'm going to go here, here, and here. Kind of make sure that you're a little bit familiar with what it is we do, how we speak, you know, how we present our show, and then you'll be a lot more comfortable and you'll make a much better guest, don't you think, Donna?
Oh, absolutely. For example, I would never pitch myself to Howard Stern. Howard Stern scares me because you never know what's going to come out of his mouth, whether it's going to be PG, R, or X-rated. I have a colleague who was on Howard Stern's show, and I think he escaped pretty unscathed. He was only on for really short, like maybe 5 minutes or so. But, you know, I've heard enough horror stories about what Howard asked people, and these are typically celebrities, so I guess I wouldn't get the same treatment because my face is not posted on the National Enquirer every week. But you really do need to be prepared. You know, John Lee Dumas is somebody you've mentioned here a couple of times. He has a very influential podcast called Entrepreneurs on Fire. But if you don't listen to previous episodes, you wouldn't know that he asked the guests the same 7 questions. And you know, having not been on his show, I don't know off the top of my head what those questions are, but and I don't know if I assume he must provide them to people ahead of time, or hopefully they have enough common sense to listen to the episode, but or previous episodes. But if you don't have your talking points outlined for those 7 questions, you're going to be out of luck. So it pays so much to listen to an episode or two before you become a guest on it, just to be sure it's going to be a good fit. And, you know, somebody's not going to Howard Stern you with something out of left field that you wouldn't want, you know, your mother to hear on the air or your family members to hear on the air. I can't overstress the importance of that. And if you are a newbie and if you're really nervous, have a friend interview. It's a great opportunity just to play around, you know, and have them be the host. I mean, if you've got teenage kids in the house, have them help you with that. They love to put on shows and record things, so hopefully it won't end up on Facebook, you know, as a bad recording. But, you know, playing around with video and audio is one thing that kids love to do because they've been doing it since, you know, they could walk almost. And practice answering the questions that you're asked, or maybe get a good friend or a good colleague to do a couple practice runs with you so that you're not as nervous or worried about what you're going to say. And then you become much more confident in your ability to convey some great information when you do actually get an opportunity to be a guest on a podcast or a radio show.
That is great advice. I know one of my recent guests was Steve Rohr, and he is a communications expert. He's also the PR, the publicist for the Academy Awards. And we had a chat afterwards, you know, because he loves the idea of podcasting. He's on TV all the time, but he really likes podcasting. And he said he had 3 different things that just drove him crazy. And this fits in with what you were just talking about, practice. Find out what your topic is. Don't wing it. Don't just go on your first 2 or 3 shows and just go, I know my stuff, wing it. It's going to end badly, and you're probably going to not want to go on other guests, as a guest on other shows. And it doesn't have to be that way, but he said the ums and the ahs and the long pauses drive him crazy. You know, clearly the person either doesn't know their topic or they're because they're searching for a word or something. It doesn't give you a lot of faith in what's going to come out of their mouth next. The second one, I can't remember what the third one was now. I wrote them down, but the second one, and it bothers me too, is anyways. There is no S on anyway, but it's just, that's a grammar thing. I'm just like, don't say that. And there was a third one, and I'm sure it'll pop into my head, he popped them out right away. So these are things as a communications expert and a PR guy for the Academy Awards, if he sees or hears these things, he said you lose a bit of credibility, and I agree with him. So you have to know your topic or topics, and you need to be able to speak clearly and competently. And, you know, I mean, every once in a while I'll be on a show where somebody will ask me a question out of left field, and I think twice I've had to say, you know, I don't, that's a great question, but I don't know the answer. I'll find one, but we'll have to come back to that. And, I, you know, it's like, but it makes you think. It makes you go do some homework.
Oh, absolutely. You know, sometimes there can be little colloquialisms that are indigenous to a particular area of the country that might make you stumble a little bit. You know, I'll get really off topic here and tell this really quick story. When I lived in Massachusetts, I moved from South Carolina, my grad school, to my first job in Massachusetts, and I really felt as though I had moved to a foreign country. Because we did not understand each other at all, because they were packing the car in the harbor, and, you know, I was like, well, what y'all up to? I'm just really Southern. At any rate, you know, I was a resident director at a residence apartment complex at a small public college in Massachusetts, and one of the RAs, I was going with one of the other residence directors to Boston, or to Boston, I guess I should say, and we were getting directions, because most of the kids at this school were from the Boston area. And so one of the RAs, one of the male RAs, was giving us directions. He's like, yeah, and you come to this rotary. And I was like, a rotary? What is a rotary? He's like, you know, a rotary. And so I said, a rotary is a part of a car. I don't know what you're talking about. So he has to draw out what I know as a traffic circle. I was like, oh, a traffic circle. And so, you know, those kind of little things like that, you know, if you're interviewing people from other parts of the country or even internationally, can come sometimes kind of throw you off. But are a good learning experience for both parties, I think.
We have the same thing here. We, you know, that verge between highways, you know, that grass strip between highways and roads.
Uh-huh.
Here in Louisiana, that's called a neutral ground. I don't know why. It's just neutral
ground.
Oh, no,
that I did not know.
Yeah. So if anybody's trying to give you directions in Southwest Louisiana, they say, you know, go down here and take a left where the neutral ground ends. Just watch for the grass to end and take a left. That's what that is.
I had not heard that one at all.
Yeah. And you live right close by, too. Okay,
exactly.
We all listen, from here to Shreveport, we have massive different ways of talking. So, you know, that's just the way it is in this part of the country. It's fun, though. It's like, what did you say? What does that mean? Oh,
right,
okay.
Exactly.
But listen, so we are off track a bit, and I'm sorry about it, but I'm having fun. I get to speak to fellow Southerner, and, yeah, it's fun. Okay, so once you've got past your fear, because we have terrified you and you're fairly new at this, and you've given, and I do apologize, but it is important. If you're going to be, you know, podcast guest, I mean, you want to be comfortable with the host. You want to be comfortable with the information that you're conveying. You don't want to be searching and going, oh, gosh, yeah, and pretending to people that you know what you're talking about when it's kind of clear that you don't. And the truth is, we all have our areas of expertise. We just have to get comfortable talking about them. So I love what you said earlier, Don, about, you know, practicing it, getting it written down, practice it, you know, maybe put it on slides where you can just kind of play it back every once in a while. But once you get comfortable and you've eliminated the uhs and the ahs and the, you know, pauses and hesitations, and you can really, really convey really important information to listeners, at that point, podcast, you know, hosts like me were like, great job. Can I refer you to some of my friends who are podcast hosts? And we do that all the time. I mean, we are constantly saying, oh, man, Donna was so good. I mean, I'm going to send you over to Meredith Bell, and I'm going to send you over here to, you know, Heather Ann Havenwood. I'm, you know, you can, once we find out that you are really good on your topic and you're just a great guest from start to finish by getting us the info we need, by promoting it, by being, you know, just hot on topic on the show and then promoting it later, we're going to share your information. We're happy to.
And that's a great point for really wanting to do your best and shine when you're a podcast guest. But it also works in the reverse, too. I have a friend who has her own podcast show, and she, as a host, she conducted the interview so well that the guy said, I really want you to interview John Lee Dumas. And she had no connection to him. So he hooked her up with John Lee Dumas, and she got to interview him on the show because she was such an awesome host. So it works both ways, which is really, really nice.
It does. And the beauty of it, I mean, you don't have to, you know, pick up your dry cleaning, jump in the car, jump in a plane, go get on stage somewhere. You can do it from the comfort of your own home. And there's a certain level about that, I think, that makes it really easy for podcast guests and podcast hosts because we are comfortable. You know, we're not having to worry about, oh, gosh, is my hat on straight? Or, you
right.
know, I didn't brush my hair right
my
this
teeth.
Morning. Right, right. So there's a certain level there, but, you know, like you said, it's people are listening more and more and more. They're listening in their cars. They're listening on their, you know, their exercise equipment. I listen to podcasts when I'm working. I listen to them when I'm exercising. So I totally understand that. So what happens, you know, once we've got you on the show and the show is in the can, it's live, what should the guests do then, in your opinion?
Well, the strongest thing that a guest can do is what I call up-leveling their interview. And by that, I mean repurposing it. So many people just get the notice that their episode has been broadcast, and everything stops right there. But a really great podcast host is going to give you access to that MP3 recording, and you can do so many things with MP3 because that now has become a piece of content. And many people who are listening to this may have heard over and over again about how content is king, and there are so many ways to repurpose that. You know, you can, you know, transcribing the interview is one of the first things I would encourage the guests to do because you can make that into blog posts or social media updates. But one of the really cool ways to publish or promote this interview that I see not that many people doing is to create the good old press release or a media release about the interview. And if you use the right service to do that, you can get that seen on affiliates of ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, and then use that, you know, print it out and use that as a part of your shock and awe box, to use a Dan Kennedy term. You know, if you're sending out packets of information to prospective clients or you're trying to get speaking gigs or what have you. And what's cool, when you use a press release service like this, you can ethically use those logos on your website, you know, as featured on or as seen on, you know, ABC, CBS, NBC, and there's usually lots of newspapers, regional newspapers that come with that kind of release. You can use that on your website. You can use that in your PR packet, on your media kit, in your signature file. You see them all over the place. A lot of people will use them with their social media profile picture. And that's a really awesome way, this media release is a really awesome way to promote both yourself as well as your host and increase the likelihood that your host is going to promote you to other hosts so that you can get more podcast interviews without having to do a lot of work. Once you've got that transcript in hand, another thing that I don't see a lot of guests doing is creating a book or a book chapter from that interview. It is so easy to publish a book now, thanks to Amazon. You know, like them or hate them, Amazon is what I call the second biggest search engine now in the world, next to Google, or maybe
they
third
are.
Next
yep.
time if you use are. YouTube. And people wonder, you know, are wondering about, well, you know, my interview was only 30 minutes, or my interview was only 60 minutes. You know, how's that going to make a book? The nice thing is that Amazon accepts, you don't have to write the Bible to everything or the guide to everything that's 200 or 300 pages. People typically are not reading the entire 200 or 300 page nonfiction book. They're going to a chapter that's really relevant to them at whatever point in time they're in or whatever problem they're having and reading that information, and then you're done with it. But if you have a short book of, say, 30 pages, 45 pages, 75 pages, It's much easier to consume. And typically, when you've talked on a podcast, you've talked about one particular topic, one problem, one solution type of thing. And so you can create a one problem, one solution book incredibly easy, sell it on Kindle as an electronic book, as well as get it printed through Amazon's CreateSpace platform and have a print book that you can use in that shock and awe box that I mentioned earlier when you're trying to attract new prospects. Nothing speaks more loudly to people, even in this day of self-publishing when everybody can self-publish, but there's still this awe, there's still this mystique around publishing your own book and being an author. I remember a few years ago, my sister-in-law was just awed, and this wasn't even a print book, of the fact that I offered an e-book on my website. It was actually a pretty hefty e-book. It was about 175 pages. And she couldn't get over the fact that I was an author. And I was like, well, I just kind of put articles together and sold it as an e-book. But, you know, it does contain that sense of mystery and sense of awe that you have managed to put together and publish something. And what's nice about self-publishing these days, if you're working with the right people, there's very little distinction between a self-published book and one that would come out from a big publisher, say like HarperCollins. You know, provided you've got a good editor and a good book cover designer, you know, you spend a little bit of your resources to make it a very professional looking book, but that amplifies your authority as well because you're now on the number two or maybe number three biggest search engine in the world, Amazon, in both an electronic format and a print format, and that book can open so many other doors for you. So you can usually, you know, if you, even if you're a local business, you know, and you're writing about, you're a dentist and you're writing about teeth whitening, if you're advertising that book on TV commercials locally as your call to action rather than inviting people to come by your office, you stand a much better chance of attracting prospects who would not have thought of you normally. Or if you're giving out the book, you know, as a part of some kind of marketing campaign that you're doing out of your office, people are really impressed by books. Unlike business cards, unlike brochures, people don't throw books away. I have a colleague who works in a funeral home here, and she was telling me there was some woman who published a book about local orange history, and she didn't want it anymore, but she couldn't bring herself to throw it away, so she brought it into their resources room at the funeral home where she worked so somebody else could get some use out of it. So that's a really great way to repurpose your podcast, or maybe a couple of podcasts together, is to create a big book or, you know, one problem, one solution book out of it, maybe even a series of books, because that gives you more opportunities to be listed on Amazon. I also encourage people to create a really cool series of search engine optimized videos from the content of their podcast. You know, they can chop up what they've said and make short little 2 or 3 minute videos and perhaps, you know, throw some PowerPoint slides behind it, you know, behind the audio, and then you've got some great videos that are promoting your business. So don't let, you know, as a guest, don't let your interview just sit there. Take it, repurpose it, use it in as many ways as you can, because that's an incredibly valuable piece of content.
And another thing that you can do while you're repurposing is take that interview, you know, once you've had it transcribed, and you can put it up on LinkedIn Pulse as an article. You can put
Absolutely.
It on Medium as an article. You can put it on Facebook, you know, Notes as an article. You know, Google loves those places, plus your blog. And here's something that I've got 2 or 3 guests that I can think of off the top of my head. Meredith Elliott Powell is one. Several guests. And, I mean, some of these interviews are a year old. They're still popping up on Twitter. They're still talking about them. And that impresses me every time I see them. I'm like, woohoo! They really like that interview. Good. Then I retweet it, and then we start this whole other conversation about a year-old
right.
interview. Don't let them die. Yeah, just keep them going.
Oh, absolutely. Well, that's what I call exposure cloning, and that's something else that you can do as a guest. So just because you've promoted an episode once or twice in social media, unless somebody is a stalker or has no life, you know, nobody's following you 24/7 on social media or reading every single email that you put out or watching every video you might produce. So have a whole list of the podcast episodes you've been on and reintroduce a new episode or, you know, a new podcast or an older podcast that may be new to newer people every 30 days or so. Introduce it to your social media. Revive a blog post that you've written. Write about it again. change up the announcement a little bit. Maybe use a personalized podcast cover art that the host gave you, or use a screenshot of one of your media releases about your appearance on the show, or you may link, you know, directly to the podcast episode, you know, the third time you announcement, or do a humble brag about your appearance in social media. But the important thing is, you know, as you're promoting this, you know, as you're doing that exposure cloning, give those folks on social media, on their email list, what have you, a reason to listen. You know, it's really boring to say, oh, well, catch my guest episode on such and such podcast. You know, that doesn't really inspire me to want to run right there and listen to that episode. So instead, you might pull out really some really pertinent fact in the episode that's really compelling. So if I were promoting this episode, for example, in, you know, 60, 90 days down the road, I may say something like, listen to me as I reveal three profitable ways to up-level your podcast interview. And people that are interested are going to say, well, let me go hear what that is. And then they will go, as opposed to, oh, I was on Denise's podcast, come listen. It's like, yeah, so what?
Yeah, who's so, Denise? Exactly.
Yeah.
I see that all the time. Like, but I don't know who you guys are. You're not giving me a really solid reason to go give you my time. And that's what we're asking. You know, we're asking our guests and our audience to give us their time, aren't we? So we have to really make it attractive and valuable.
Absolutely. And I want to go back. I had forgotten to talk about this point when I was talking about ways to up-level your interview. Don't forget about the fact that the podcast is evergreen. And so as a guest on a podcast, the worst thing that you can do is tell somebody to go to the homepage of your website. It's like, yeah, so why am I going to the homepage of your website? Even if you're going to the homepage to pick up something in particular, have a really specific call to action that you want your listener to take, something that they can do if they're listening on their smartphone, you know, riding a bicycle, an exercise bike, or out walking or what have you. You know, you can get really fancy and have them text to you. I'm not quite that sophisticated at this point. But create a special landing page for the listeners of the show, welcoming the listeners by name, and have something for have some gift to give them to ask to, that will, you know, get them to opt in to your email list, because that's one of the most advantageous gold assets that you can have as a business owner is your email list. And so once they're on your email list, you can ethically then begin to market to them, because you don't have access to your listeners of a podcast. I mean, most hosts don't even know who the listeners are to the podcast. They can track downloads, but they don't have any more specific information. So create a really special landing page for the listeners of a particular podcast that would get them on your email list, so you can ethically then start to contact them. And then also have a follow-up series. You know, so this is kind of your profit funnel here. Have an autoresponder series that periodically goes out afterwards that consists of maybe issues of your email newsletter, or sells them to a particular thing that you want them to be interested in, or you want to get them to purchase from you.
That makes perfect sense. I mean, it's so logical. So, but I wanted to go back one step, and thank you for sharing that. PR releases, you mentioned that, you know, if you're using the right one, what are the best ones that you recommend?
Well, I actually am offering press releases to clients. I don't use, the bigger ones are things like PR Newswire, but I have access to a service that is really unique, and I'm not sure that the PR Newswires and the other folks do that in terms of having it syndicated to affiliates of ABC, CBS, NBC, et cetera. So that's part of what I offer my clients, whether they're doing a book release or they've been a podcast guest or they've come up with a new free ebook they're giving away on their website. So, you know, if somebody were to contact me, I could tell them a little bit about the press release services that I offer and let them know how we could work together on that.
Excellent. At the end of the show, I'll get you to share that information. We do. Oh, wow. We are running out of time. I told you this is the fastest 60 hours, 60 minutes around.
60 hours,
we've got,
wow.
You may have 60 hours. I told you I'm losing my voice, and with that, I'm losing my mind. Do you mind coming back? I mean, we have so much to talk about, and we didn't cover it all. Can I get you to come back again soon?
Sure, that's not a problem. I'd love to do that.
So you see what I did there? You can't tell me no on the radio, can you?
Yeah, right.
Okay. Tricky.
She's trapped me. I can't refuse.
Wait, we have a couple of questions in the chat room that I wanted to get to before we end the show. And this is from James Artry, who is a very dear friend of mine, and he's a wonderful content creator if anybody's looking for content creation. What are some of the tips for helping your host get more people to attend the podcasts and webinars? Good question.
Give your guest the ability to promote that. You know, why I made the made the statement earlier about not making the host think. Well, you don't want to make, as a host, you don't want to have to make the guest think either. So the more as a host that you can give the guest, whether that's social media updates to help promote the episode, images that they can use to help promote the episode, they've got a whole social network, they've got an email list, they've got connections on LinkedIn that you don't have, and getting the guest actively involved in helping promote the episode should be something that every host is doing. That is
absolutely.
I don't know that that's going to bring, you know, lots, you know, Oprah-like audience to people, but it will definitely expose new people to that particular host podcast by getting the guest involved in promoting. And frankly, you know, I think every host should make that a requirement. You know, if you're going to come on my podcast, I need your help in promoting it as well.
Mm-hmm. I do. I ask, you know, I need your, if we're not already connected on social media, let's connect. And here's the graphic. Here's the show notes. Here you go. I would love for you to promote this with us. So, and they do. They're happy to. They've spent an hour with me. They did a lot of preparation. They're not going to let it fall in between the cracks.
I hope
okay,
not,
so
that
another,
would be a terrible waste.
It would, wouldn't it? There's another question. Why do so many people have trouble doing something like writing a book or an e-book that she makes sound so simple? By the way, that's a question. So you have to answer this question, apparently.
You know, writing an e-book is not as hard as you would think. When I work with clients on creating that e-book, they actually don't write a word, believe it or not, because we do that through interviews. So how I work with clients on this is that we craft a series of questions that I go onto an interview and ask them, and actually we repurpose that interview typically on Business Innovators Radio as well, and then have that transcribed and work with, have an editor on my team, work with an editor to put that into chapters, or we might publish that as an interview book depending upon, you know, what the client wants to do. And so that is the easiest way to get a book out there without having to write anything. You're not agonizing over, you know, whether to use the past tense of the verb or the, or, whatever people, agonize over in their writing, because it's pretty much all done for you. And then, you know, if you're working with the book publishing company, which I do have that as a part of my services, as part of my BizSmart Media, BizSmart Publishing, I actually put it all together for you, format it for Kindle, have a cover design for you, both for Kindle and CreateSpace, if that's part of our contract, help you promote it. If you're interested in an Amazon bestseller campaign, we do it all for you in-house. So other than maybe 60 to 90 minutes of your time that would be involved in coming up with questions and actually doing the interview, and a check in occasionally, you know, to make sure you like the cover, and looking at the final products, the author is not really involved in the process once they've given the interview. And people love that, because instead of agonizing over, oh, what should my topic be, or, oh, I can't write these 300 pages, or, oh, it's going to take $50,000 for a ghostwriter, we make it just really easy for you. And if you've got podcast interviews or even webinars for that matter, we've transferred those into One Problem, One Solution books. So taking a look at what you've got in your assets, your content assets, is a great way to get started. The book that I just published, Brand Yourself as a Trusted Local Celebrity, the 25 tips in there are based on 25 articles that I had written. Well, actually about 23. I had to write two for the book. But I just put those together in a way that made sense and modified them just a little bit. And quite frankly, people say, well, how did you come up with 25? Well, that's how many that I needed. I mean, that's how many I had. You know, if I'd had 27, it would have been 27. If I'd had 19, it would have been 19. So writing a book these days is not nearly as hard as it was, you know, just as short as 20 years ago.
It scares me. I mean, I have mad skills, and I write well, but writing a book for some reason just terrifies me. So we're going to be talking. But I have.
Okay.
I wanted to go back. I wanted to go back just a bit. Well, we were talking about, oh, we only have 10 seconds. We're going to lose the people in the chat room. So they already know that. Oh, they know that. They're saying, okay. They'll listen to the end of it later on. But, you know, you're going back to, I guess, about the middle of the program where you said, you know, they can take their podcasts and put them in a book very quickly. And I can just hear people saying, yeah, but I only talk about one topic. Here's the thing that you may not be thinking. Each host is different. You know, I'm going to pull information out of you that you're not, probably not going to be sharing on another podcast. It's not all the same. If you're doing a really good job as a guest, you're not just doing the same thing by rote, right, Donna? You're not just repeating the same talking points over and over again. So you're going to find, depending on where you are, what you're talking about, who the guest is, that even though it's the same topic, it's going to be very different results. So pay attention to those and pick the best of those podcasts and turn those into an article or a PR release or book or, you know, just repurpose those.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, you may see this interview and then another interview I did on the topic of podcasts. That's precisely what I'll be doing to come out with my podcast book in the next probably 2 months or so.
Nice. Well, I would be honored to be in that book. Well, Donna, listen, and I appreciate you coming on at last minute. I appreciate you being a guest again soon. And tell people where they can find you on the web. And I do have a question that I'll ask you later about transcriptionists from the chat room,
okay.
But we need to get moving. So let people know where they can find you.
Sure. I've actually got a special page set up for guests or for listeners for this particular podcast, and it's to get a copy of my media leverage guide about how you can use the media in various ways to get more attention to yourself, to help with the like, know, and trust factor. And you can get that at interviewguestprofits, and that's pluralprofits.com/your partner, and it's all lowercase. And again, that's interviewguest, G-U-E-S-T, profits.com/your partner.
Great. I just put that in the chat room for the people that are still in there. Donna, thank you so much for being with me here today. It has been wonderful chatting with you, and I know our audience enjoyed the takeaways as much as I did. And everybody, the show will be available for download in about 5 or 10 minutes. It takes a little bit to render. And you can also find us in iTunes. Just type in our names, Denise Griffiths and Donna Gunter, and I will see you next week. Donna, thank you.
Sure.
You can find Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com or at gottagovirtualnow.com. Thank you for joining us on Your Partner in Success Radio.